Titus chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 3 and read through verse 7. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning and for another opportunity to look into it. I pray this morning that you'd open up our minds, our eyes, our ears, our heart to the truth that you have for us. Teach us and instruct us through the workings of your Holy Spirit, and we will thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In the Webster's Dictionary, amazement is defined this way: a strong feeling of astonishment or wonder. And there are some things in this life that absolutely amaze me. When I take a trip that leads through a big city like New York or Chicago or Atlanta or Houston or Los Angeles, I am awestruck at the large buildings and skyscrapers in those towns. Now, I'm sure people who live there are not impressed at all, but I'll tell you what, I'm amazed when I see those buildings. I am amazed every time I look at my daughters and my son and realize that my blood flows through their veins. I am amazed at the unconditional love I have for all of them. I'm amazed that after 23 years, my sweet wife still loves me. That poor lady had no idea what she was getting into when she married me. I'm amazed also by God's creation, standing in a valley looking up at a mountain, or standing on a mountain looking out over a valley, or watching a beautiful sunrise or sunset, or gazing on a clear night at the moon and stars, or standing on the shoreline overlooking the vast ocean. All of these things still amaze me. But I'm here to tell you this morning that nothing, absolutely nothing, amazes me more than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Nothing. There's a singing group that my family likes to listen to. We actually went to one of their concerts recently. It's a group called the Perrys. And the Perrys sing a song called "I'm Still Amazed." And one of the verses says this. It says, "I've never gotten over that I'm not under the bondage of sin anymore. I'm still amazed that Jesus would pay a debt I could not afford. I've never gotten past that I'm free at last from sin that made me a slave, and I still feel it as much as when he first touched me. Oh yes, I'm still amazed." Now, there is not enough time in this service this morning to even scratch the surface concerning the fact that we have a personal relationship with a holy God. But I'd like to hit some of the high points this morning. If you'll look at our text this morning, I want to say first of all that I am still amazed by God's love. I'm still amazed by God's love. Look at verses 3 and 4 again. "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared. You know, sometimes we are hard to love. I'm thankful for parents, children, a spouse, and good Christian friends who possess unconditional love for me. I'm amazed at how your family knows you better than anyone else and loves you anyway. But God knows more about you than anyone. He knows your actions. He knows your thoughts. He knows what you've done. He knows what you're going to do. And knowing this, He still loves you anyway. And to me, that's amazing. That's amazing. In verse 3, Paul paints a picture of the old man or the person before receiving Christ. He says we were foolish. This means to be without understanding or ignorant of the things concerning God. He says we were disobedient. That is, we were rebellious toward God. We were deceived. We were continually led deeper and deeper into sin by Satan. We served divers lusts and pleasures. We were slaves to the desires of the flesh. We were living in malice. That refers to a lifestyle of evil. We had envy. We were always grasping for more and desiring what others had, never satisfied, never content. We were hateful, which is the natural fruit of the other things that were just listed. This kind of makes us mean-spirited and hard to get along with. And then it says we were hating one another, walking without love for your fellow man. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that describes someone who is hard to love. But notice what Paul says in verse 4, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared. This means in spite of what we once were and who we still are, God chose to love us. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How awesome, how amazing is that? God knows us, yet he loved us enough to send his only begotten Son to make a way for us to one day be with him. I am still amazed by God's love. Which leads to the second thing this morning, and that is, I'm still amazed by God's salvation. In verse 5, we read, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And we're going to come back and talk about that portion of the verse in just a moment. But look what it says as we continue on. It says, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Webster's dictionary defines salvation as rescue from harm, destruction, or danger. And that is what God did for us through the sacrifice of his Son. There was a great penalty for our sins, but God came to our rescue when he sent Jesus to pay that sin debt on the cross in order for us to be saved. We were destined for hell, and Jesus came and made a way of escape for us. And notice verses 5 and 6, it tells us what salvation through Christ did for us, right? We were lost, but it says he saved us. We were defiled, but it says he washed us. We were dead, but it says he made a way of regeneration, gave us a new birth, a fresh start. We were empty, but he filled us with the Holy Spirit. We experienced the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You see, religion is man trying to get up to God, but salvation is God coming down to man. It has often been said that salvation is free, but it wasn't cheap. Everything we have received in salvation, forgiveness, hope, peace, eternal life, heaven, membership in the family of God, everything, absolutely everything we have received in salvation came through God's sacrifice of His Son. Verse 6, it says, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. If you just look carefully to the cross, I guarantee that you will see multitudes of reason to be amazed at salvation. Another verse of that Perry song said this, I'm amazed to know how far God would go to set a lost man free. And I'm still in awe that He gave it all for an old sinner like me. I've never gotten over that this King would shoulder my sin in all its disgrace. Calvary's hill still gives me a thrill. Oh yes, I'm still amazed. I am amazed by God's salvation. And not only am I amazed by God's salvation as a whole, but there are certain elements of salvation that amaze me. Look with me at verse 5. Number 3 is this, I'm still amazed by God's mercy, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Because of God's mercy towards us, we do not receive the punishment that we deserve. Each and every person here this morning, each and every person that is a born-again believer in Jesus Christ deserves to spend an eternity in hell. Nothing can change the fact that that is what we deserve. We can't live good enough to earn our way into heaven, and we can't live good enough to escape the flames of hell on our own. We can do nothing. We just can't do enough good works to escape the fact that we deserve hell. But as believers in Christ, we are saved. And we are delivered from that punishment. And the reason that's possible is found in verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. This verse proves that you and I will never qualify for heaven on our own. You can't get to heaven by being a good person. You can't get to heaven by doing good things, because according to the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 64:6, all our righteousnesses, that is the best we got to offer God, is filthy rags in His sight. You can't go to heaven by your good work. You can't go to heaven by doing good things, because even the best things you've got have been tainted by sin. This verse proves that you and I will never qualify for heaven on our own. But God is merciful, and He has made a way through His Son. And this mercy is available to everyone who will call out to Christ for salvation. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Psalm 86:5, where it says, for Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee. I want you to know this morning, I am still amazed by God's mercy. Nate, could you run and get me a cup of water this morning? I'm getting a little dry here. Thanks, buddy. Now, the fourth thing is this. Not only am I amazed by God's mercy, I'm still amazed by God's grace. Verse 7, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, you have to understand this. There is a difference between mercy and grace. Let me explain that to you. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. We do deserve hell. But by God's mercy, we are delivered from that fate. So mercy is not getting what you do deserve. But grace is different. Grace is receiving what you do not deserve. We do not deserve heaven. But by grace, we're saved through faith. You see, it is mercy that keeps us from going to hell, but it's grace that gets us into heaven. And grace is the unmerited favor of God. Our works will never be enough, but His grace is more than sufficient. In fact, we find that because of His grace, we are justified. And through justification, God pardons all the sins of those who believe in Christ. And God doesn't just pardon our sins, He goes beyond that and He initiates a personal relationship with us. He walks with us intimately. He cares for us immensely. He blesses us immeasurably. You see, if God had just delivered us from our sin debt and freed us from hell, that would have been more than we could ever deserve. But He went much, much further. We are now His, and He is ours. He is our Heavenly Father, and just to top it off, He said that we will live with Him forever. So I don't know about you, but when it comes to God's love and God's salvation and God's mercy and God's grace, I am still amazed. Still amazed. And then here's the clincher. God took everything we've seen thus far and He wrapped it up and He gave it to us as a gift in the form of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to finish up with this morning. Number five, I'm still amazed by God's Son. Verse 6, which says, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The name of Jesus is amazing. Amazing. In Acts 4:12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus left the glories of heaven, came to this earth, took on a robe of flesh, and became the ultimate sacrifice for sin. The last verse of that Perry song that I've been quoting says this: I'm amazed that this stranger would accept a manger in trade for a kingly throne. And I'm still at a loss why He'd take the cross instead of a street of pure gold. He's the only king who gave everything in exchange for a cold, dark grave. And I still love to ponder this God-given wonder. Oh, yes, I'm still amazed. You see, everything, absolutely everything about Jesus Christ is amazing. Everything. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He taught with authority. He healed the sick. He cleansed the lepers. He made the blind to see. He caused the deaf to hear. He caused the dumb to speak. He made the lame to walk. He cast out demons. He raised people from the dead. He laid down His life. He paid the ultimate sacrifice. He shed His precious blood. And He died on an old rugged cross. He rose again. He ascended to heaven. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. He has provided an atonement for our sin. Thank you, Nate. I appreciate that. And an atonement for our sins. He is making intercession on our behalf. He has forgiven our sins. He has saved our souls from hell. He has changed our lives. He has has provided eternal life. He has gone to prepare a place, and he promised to come again and receive us. This amazing Savior has defeated sin and Satan and death and hell and the grave, and soon he will split the eastern sky with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and he will call his children out of this world, and we will rise up to meet him. We'll leave behind this world of sorrow, and we will meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with him. And that's just a few reasons why I'm still amazed by God's Son. Amen. And let me tell you this, if you're here and you have never met Jesus, I hope you understand that he came and made a way for you to experience God's love and God's mercy and God's grace and God's salvation. So stop basing eternity on what you can do, because it will never be enough. Put your faith, put your hope, put your trust in Jesus and what he has already done. And for those who have been saved, the question is this: are you still amazed by Jesus? Unfortunately, when you look at the condition of God's church in our day, it seems that many professed Christians have simply gotten over it. When you look at their lives, when you examine their actions and their priorities, it seems that the thrill of being saved is gone. Because quite honestly, if you are still amazed by Jesus, it will be apparent in your life. You will follow what he said when he proclaimed, "If you love me, keep my commandments." You will love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. You will love thy neighbor as thyself. You will not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You'll show up at church. You will give to the Lord. You'll give him your tithes. You'll give him your talents. You'll give him your treasures. You'll take time to talk with him through prayer every day. You'll allow him to speak to you through the study of his word every day. And every day you will openly and unashamedly tell others about him. And so I ask you to examine your life. Do these actions and attributes describe you? Are you still amazed by Jesus? When you look at all he's done for you, shouldn't that make you want to live for him? I know this old boy falls far short each and every day. But when it comes to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I am still amazed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning.